Welcome back to the Sucks Podcast. I'm your host, Brad.
And I am Dave.
And with us, as always, is producer Joe.
Not the producer.
Joe, I've looked at the website. You are listed very clearly as producer in the credits section of the website.
Absolutely.
I would have to take it up with HR. That is clearly a clerical error.
Joe, you can take it up to HR, but we are a growing company. We've got a couple of people on our HR team only. We've got a couple of people on finance. We've got a couple of interns who are, you know, fulfilling all of our merch orders and a couple of people on the marketing team. All of those people that I just mentioned are all Joe.
No! I'm not the producer.
All right. We're recording on a Saturday morning. Usually we do this on Sunday morning, and it turns out we're much different on Saturday mornings. Maybe it's because the weeks are long and Saturday mornings is where we usually recoup, and we haven't done that yet. Yeah. But we're a little punchy this morning. This, of course, is a podcast where we talk about design, intentional and otherwise, and all the ways that UX, user experience design, impact us every day. We are lovers, not experts of UX design.
Dour, sad lovers.
We are sad, morose, overtaxed, overburdened lovers. I don't know what that means. We started this podcast as a way to talk about why things were made the way they were and how those design decisions might have gone off the rails. Other than being extremely loopy, how are you guys doing this morning?
I'm feeling like shit, Brad. Yeah, I got a toilet problem. I'm not making that connection.
I was gonna say, was that pun intended?
No, it was. There are no puns intended today. I'm gonna put that out there. Mm-hmm. I am a miserable F, and I will try to bounce back with your good cheer and your pretty faces. And
you know, this might work out in your favor, Dave, because you know, one of the things that always makes you feel better is complaining. So
that's true.
This podcast is the forum for us to complain, really specifically for you to complain. So, you know, if this
can I just complain in general, like just about my life? Can we just do that episode?
I got to tell you, like I was already just losing all interest when you started talking about toilets and dryers. It's like, I don't care.
Can we do an episode on toilets? There's got to be bad user experience across the board on toilets, except for you, Brad.
Do you ever see the Curb Your Enthusiasm where he designs like a better toilet?
Mm-mm.
It's not only
I have, episode, but I forgot.
It's like a whole mid-season arc.
What? Which season?
It's like season, not this season, not the most recent, but the one before that, where he's doing the Mocha Joes. He's like, you know.
I remember Mocha Joes. Oh, that's
right.
Oh,
the urinal. It was about
Yes.
Yeah, he designs a better urinal. UX is a better urinal, and it ends up,
he gets it.
Yeah, man.
He gets it.
You know, Larry David is going to be, I don't want to spoil anything, but he is our guest for next week's episode, so we can ask him about that.
He is.
Before we get into today's main topic, which is Amazon Prime, let's Woo-hoo! Take a quick break to talk about the news. I do have a news story that relates to our main topic, Amazon Prime, and it's about Peloton. Peloton is in real, real dire straits. Their stock price is about half what it was a year ago at the height of the pandemic. And they have made some really, really poor business decisions relating to supply chain, failure to understand basic supply and demand. And what they basically, like the 100-foot view of this, is that they didn't realize that all the people who want a Peloton bike have already bought a Peloton bike. So now they have warehouses. So now they have warehouses filled with these unsold bikes.
And they were probably planning on making their money by subscription.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like basically like a phone model. Like we'll give you the phone for free. You're going to pay for the service.
Well, and the bike ain't free. I mean, I got one, and let me tell you, it was not free. And then for me to have to spend, the recurring revenue subscription price on top of that crazy price that I already paid for the bike is offensive to me.
Yeah,
I mean, make the bike cheaper or have the expensive bike include the recurring revenue. Now, you wouldn't want to do that from a business perspective because it's all about the recurring revenue, baby. The rundle. Yeah.
Can you bike on that without the subscription?
You can. I don't think you get access to the classes, the live classes.
Okay. So that's the catch. Laps. Like, I've never understood this craze.
What's the whole point of that bike is that you have a built-in motivator. You get on the bike, there's somebody in your face going, "Hey, look, you're in third place. Push a little harder. Let's finish in first.
So here's how this relates to Amazon Prime. Because Peloton is in such trouble, they are just a prime acquisition for a buyout. And there's a couple of players who have expressed interest. One organization who's likely is Nike. Nike could buy Peloton. That would make a lot of sense. Nike doesn't have really a recurring revenue subscription kind of model, which is where, you know, companies make a lot of money. And they make it forever, which we'll talk about with Amazon. So Amazon is the other likely one. And I believe that Amazon is probably the most likely, and it makes the most sense. Amazon can afford it. Not only can they afford it, they would be getting it at a steal.
Right.
And it fits really cleanly into their Prime model. Just as an added service that they can offer someone to make sure that once you become a Prime subscriber, you will never, ever, ever, ever leave.
Right. And I think that kind of gets into what we want to talk about Amazon today, and the fact that that would be yet another service that probably 80% of Prime members don't even know about. And if you look at the list, there are hundreds of benefits to Prime that we don't know about. And I think that's the real user experience problem, is that we don't know how to use it fully.
Yeah, I can't wait to get into this, guys, because I actually don't have that many problems with Prime. I think all the things we don't know how to use is a plus. It's all bonus. It's all icing on the cake. I just use it to get free shipping and movies.
Why don't we take a quick commercial break, and then we'll come back and dive into Amazon Prime. Hey. If you're a real sponsor and like what you hear and want to contact our ad sales department, or if you're just a fan, visit OurPodSucks.com. That's OurPodSUX.com to find out more. And by our ad sales department, I of course mean producer Joe. OurPodSucks.com. That was weird, Dave.
It always is.
Well, we're back now. Right. Let's get back on track. And we're talking about Amazon Prime. And Joseph, why don't you run down some of the benefits that you get as a Prime
subscriber? Sure. So, Dave, you mentioned the delivery benefits. Obviously, there are a lot. The free 2-day, same day, 1-day. Grocery delivery through both Whole Foods and Amazon Fresh. Amazon Key, where they deliver it in your garage. And I think they're working on something where they'll actually put stuff in your refrigerator, which is something we can talk about being a little weird.
I'm not aware of this one.
That is interesting. Will they eat it, and will they kiss my wife?
They'll cook it for you, do everything. Of course, there's the digital benefits. There's video. There's video channels. There's Amazon Music, Amazon Photos. There are shopping benefits. There's free returns, which we could talk about. Is a little bit problematic. They have their own credit cards. They have try before you buy, where you get close, send it back. They have a personal shopping service.
Do they do that for underwear, Brad, Joe?
they do it for MeUndies, I think. Let's see. There's the books. There's Prime Reading, which is something else we could talk about, because Prime Reading and Audible, they own Audible, but Prime Reading and Audible are two different things and kind of work together and kind of don't. And that's actually a user experience that's kind of annoying.
Is there Prime Rib?
I thought you said no puns. I thought you said we do not do puns on this podcast.
Hey, man, I'm a dad. I do dad jokes. Come on. Every once in a while, throw me a bone.
So this is their Prime directive, I guess.
Prime Rib.
So anyway, and then free upgraded shopping at Zappos, and something about Shirk.Woot. And I have no idea what Shirk.Woot is, but as you can see, this is a behemoth, like we talked about before with other services. So much going on, barely know how to navigate it.
I'm Googling this, Joe. Did you say Shirk.Woof?
Shirt, S-H-I-R-T dot Woot, which I'm literally just finding out about right now.
I want this. I don't know what it is, but it sounds great.
Joe, I'm guessing that you have not exhausted your list, but that's tons, right? And there's more. Like, I don't think that you mentioned healthcare and prescription. Amazon Pharmacy is a thing. Maybe you mentioned that. Maybe you didn't. But that's one as well. And Dave, you mentioned that you only really use it for, you know, streaming video and Prime shipping, right?
Well, now I exclusively use it for Shark.Woof.
Okay.
because this is great. You guys got to visit this site. I don't know if I'm on the right one, but this is good stuff.
That I don't know what any of that means, but it sounds gross. But, so, Dave, you mentioned you use it for Prime shipping and streaming video. And here's my hypothesis. That's exactly what they want you to use it for.
Right.
They don't want you to use all this other stuff because, you know, the Amazon is a recurring revenue model. Recurring revenue subscription, Rundle, you know, sometimes we could say. Thanks to Scott Galloway for coining that term, Rundle.
Yeah.
I'll see you next week in Miami, Scott. That sounded ominous.
Yeah.
I'll see you next week in Miami, Scott.
If I were Scott, I'd be scared. Honestly,
me too. all right. So the recurring revenue business model, the Rundle. So what Amazon wants is to make you a Prime subscriber. And offer you just enough to get you in the door as a Prime subscriber, but not have you take advantage so much that they start losing money on you, right? And my hypothesis is that that's exactly what they want. They want you to use free shipping because guess what? It ain't free, and they're still making money on that shit.
Right, yeah. It's like the buffet model, right? Yeah. The Golden Corral. They're the Golden Corral.
Yeah.
That still exists post-pandemic? Right.
I have no idea.
I was going to say, I think I made the example about AAA. Everybody just uses it as an emergency tow service, but they have a ton of other service. But if everybody used everything, they would not be able to, offer like a $40 a year membership.
Yeah.
It would have to be like $400 if everybody went in for travel services and registration and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. It's a balance, and I'm sure they know what they're doing.
Same thing with the gym. Like, they make all their money on New Year's Day, right? And then nobody ever shows up for the next 3 years except me. Yeah, Brad. I think I saw Brad walk in once. Nope. He stared in the mirror. He just fluffed his hair a couple times, and then he walked out.
First, I wanted to ask you guys, are you Prime subscribers, and how long have you been a Prime subscriber? Dave, you inferred, yes, you're a Prime subscriber.
I have no idea how long. I mean, since the beginning of time. At this point, it feels like who knows, who cares? Forever?
Yeah. I don't remember a time. At this point, I don't remember a time before Amazon.
Yeah.
BA.
Kind of the
dark
same.
Days.
Like pretty much the whenever they rolled out Prime for the first time. And I have the timeline up, but it was boring me to tears. So I'm not going to walk our
no history. Brad's not going to nerd out with the history this week.
You know, usually I like nerding out on the history, but it was so fucking dry, guys.
Pardon the language.
Well, there is an interesting history to Amazon in the fact that it started off selling books. I mean, it's amazing to think that it became what it is. I remember being in Seattle in 90, it was after I graduated college. So it would have been like 99. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was like this little company called Amazon that was just starting to sell books online. And, you know, everybody was starting to worry about Barnes and Noble. And I mean, 20 years is a long time, but 20 years is pretty short. I mean,
it's brilliant.
Taken over the world.
Yeah. I mean, it's a success story. Before we get into like shitting on it, or sharding.woofing on it, we've got to like acknowledge, hats off to Amazon for taking over. I mean, from a garage.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure he had some seed money. I'm sure it wasn't like me or you doing it, right?
Well, I was going to say, here's an interesting thing from my, I was going to say, from my point of view, I don't know that they invented the model. I mean, Sears catalog from the 1800s sold houses. I mean, they're not the first person to deliver everything. I mean, you know, you used to be able to actually order a barn from the Sears catalog and have it delivered to your farm in Iowa, which it's amazing that Sears has gone under. All they had to do was kind of stay groundbreaking and they could have done it.
This is heed the warning, Amazon. Someday this will be you unless you listen to the Sucks podcast and you make these changes we're about to suggest.
Okay, so from the timeline perspective, I do just want to mention that Prime rolled out a long-ass time ago, February 2005. I probably became a Prime subscriber at that time because I was already an Amazon kind of super user at that point. So it would have been a no-brainer for me to do that at $79 a year, which they rolled it out. Unlimited two-day delivery was the real value add at that time, and that was it. And then they gradually added on more and more and more into that offering. Amazon Video was one of the next ones, I think. Amazon Pantry, some of the things that you mentioned, Joe. But my question for Amazon, if I really were going to talk to Jeff, would be like, how much was this deliberate? how much of it was planned? Did they know what they were doing, or did they just kind of like accidentally find their way into like adding more and more services? Or was that always the plan? Because God, that is genius. We started this episode, Joe and I were talking offline about how the information architecture and sort of the navigation, the ability to even understand like what the full benefits are, very confusing to me, probably to all of us. Joe did point me to a page, you know, where on Amazon where it lists the benefits, but it's not complete.
I had no idea until Joe sent that. I'm like, oh, it's like I have all these like wonderful perks that I didn't know I had. We should go through and use every single one on this episode right now.
God, you know, part of me thinks that that could be entertaining, but then the other part of me thinks that it's gonna just put people to sleep forever. Here's the theme though, like is it deliberately opaque? Do they want you to not fully understand what these benefits are? And I think the answer is yes.
Probably. I mean, you know, just look on Amazon anyway. I mean, just shop on Amazon, and it's bizarre. Like you select something, and there's this endless scroll, kind of like in our Spotify episode that we talked about. This just, what did you call it, Brad? An infinite scroll.
Yep.
So if I pick these Valentine lights that I never bought for my wife, and I scroll down, I see it's $17.99. I can immediately add it to the cart. And then there's details, there's more lights, there's frequently bought together. You might also like product gallery, people's posts about it. Like, what the fuck is going on here? Why is there this information on a set of lights?
Yeah.
So you're on a product page?
I'm on a product page. It's still going. I'm still scrolling. The features, the more features and details. Ooh, the product information.
Right.
Video.
Well, let me ask you this, Dave. What are the options for buying it? Do you have 2-day, 1-day, same day? I've never gotten anything same day, by the way.
I live in questions.
The biggest city in the country.
Yeah. It's usually the next day. People who want the same day, it's like, holy shit, dude, go to a store.
Right.
I'm sorry, Joe. Like,
I'm not necessarily saying I want same day. It's just interesting that, you know, they seem to always dangle that. It's not, there's problems with that too, because
I've never seen it.
Yeah. Which is also interesting too, because, you know, they basically changed the whole world of digitized shopping. And then they turned it around and were like, oh, we're going to buy Whole Foods and have brick and mortars at Amazon 4-star where you can take stuff, pick stuff up. And
I think that goes back to Brad's point, is that they're just adding all these things. Like, so there's something for everyone. So if you drive by an Amazon Fresh, you're like, oh, what's that all about? Okay. Oh, I just got to pay $100 a year and then I can shop here and then I can order online and then boom, it's there. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right. By the way, like we could probably do like a 4-part series on Amazon because there's so much to talk about. We're not going to do that, guys, but I'm saying that to our listeners.
I think we could come back to it. I think we could do Amazon like shopping all by itself.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Because like you mentioned Amazon Fresh and I live by an Amazon Fresh grocery store. I think that if you don't live in a big city, chances are you don't have this yet. But what I was really curious to check it out because the deal is you go in and there's no checkout line. Okay. The checkout line is optional because they have technology.
We have one.
You have one? Have you been to one, Joe?
I have not. My understanding is you just kind of pick up all your groceries and walk out and it scans it as you go and charges it to your account.
It doesn't quite work as cleanly as you would think.
Right.
No, because basically they have these big giant carts that are half filled with technology. Mm-hmm. So they have these giant carts, but you can only fit very little amount of food in it.
Half filled with sweet corn, Brad. That's my favorite part. You just get a bucket of sweet corn. Does yours have that?
No, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I just don't pay attention to.
I love sweet corn. Isn't sweet corn great?
It is pretty good.
It's good in the morning. It's good in the evening. It's good in holidays, non-holidays.
Yeah. Dave is
this is the type of content that, you know, our users tune in for.
Right.
To hear us talking about our love of sweet corn in the morning.
Sweet corn, Brad. Good Lord.
But yeah, it's a little bit of a clumsy experience because you have to scan the items as you put them in the cart, just like you would scan them at the checkout line.
Right.
And just like at the checkout line, you know, if you're doing fresh food, it's kind of a pain.
Is that true? I thought it gathers the price and the total as you were putting it into the cart.
Yeah, that's exactly what you scan it and then you put it in your cart.
That's what Brad's saying is as you go.
I thought,
up a bottle of juice, scan it on
my
cart.
I didn't think you had to scan it. I thought just the act of putting, I thought it had like that RFID situation. Like there's a barcode still.
Not mine.
Oh, that's bad. Yeah, one. That's
I have well, to I don't scan the barcode. I have to scan
I went
the
there once. I bought like one thing. I was like, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's and the last I think you just stole that, Dave. I think is what happened.
Well, quite possibly. I don't know. You know, tomato tomato.
Anyway, that's like a going down a rabbit hole. It's, you know, just not quite there yet. Right. I think it's a good concept. It's probably going to work out just fine in 5 years, but not quite there yet.
I'm glad you're able to talk about that because that's a good user experience towards the shopping. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, I think shopping for the most part is pretty good for the buyer. There's everything you want. Mm-hmm. Prices are fair. Shipping is free. I think the only problem is the people
free
that
in quotes.
Well, I was going to say the problem
why do you
is
put free in quotes, Brad.
The problem is the people that work for Amazon. That's who it's not good for.
No, nobody cares about those people. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Users, wow. I'm kidding.
Hey, don't you
probably
employees?
Leave that in? But I'm joking.
Brad's team, listen up.
Right. Which is my thing about this about no. same day is I don't want same day. I actually like the Amazon day delivery. You know, have it all delivered on Amazon Day, which I think is Wednesday or something. I don't know whether to still call it that.
Were you just saying you wanted it the same day, Joe? You can't have it both.
I was saying that was something that they advertised, but I've never actually seen it work.
Got it. But you'd love it. You know you'd love it.
I don't know that I would. Because here's
the
problem.
Like you want it.
What I want is, you know, there's certain things I do need almost overnight, which I'm happy to get next day. But certain things I can gather up and get all delivered on one day. I don't need to order three things and have them show up on Tuesday, Wednesday. Oh, this isn't available for like a week. And it would help the employees who have to run around the warehouse gathering stuff with a ticking clock in their hand.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't need them working 12-hour days without a bathroom break because they have to run to aisle 715, shelf 4 to pick up batteries and then back
put
to
in
aisle
a box
back to aisle 6. Shelf 2 to pick up a coffee maker.
Yeah,
get it all in a box and get it to me tomorrow when I need the batteries. But the coffee maker, I could wait till next.
And the box is the size of your house.
Yes.
Yeah, yep, I got a story about that. I mean, just a little quick anecdote. It's pretty much exactly what you described. So I ordered some lip balm from Amazon, and for our listeners, I'm holding this up, and it's the size of lip balm. You know, it comes
half ounce jar.
In the biggest fucking box you could imagine.
How big, like, Brad?
Okay, if I were to order, let's say, a basketball, I'm not going to exaggerate, so I'm not going to say it's the biggest box in the world, but if it's the size of a basketball, like I'm talking about like a square box, maybe about 14 inches, you know, square.
Huh. And this little like 1 inch by 1 inch lip balm is inside.
Yes. Inside. And this happened, and this was several years ago, and unfortunately, it hasn't changed my behavior, which it should, right? But I open up this box, and I see this lip balm, and I'm like, oh, this whole world is going to go up in flames. And I have not changed my behavior at all, even knowing, even understanding that this is
Brad.
Just destroying our world. For me to order Brad. Overnight shipping, because it's convenient, yada, yada, yada. So when I say nothing is free, I mean that in about three or four different ways. First of all, nothing is free because of the environmental catastrophe that it creates when I order a lipstick. Why did I say lipstick? A lip balm on Amazon.
Because you're being honest now, Brad.
Right. And then secondly, it's not free because they're marking up the prices. It's not free. Guys, a $4 pack of batteries, if you order a $4 pack of batteries on Amazon, they'll charge you $8 for it and then say that it's free shipping.
I don't know. It's comparable to what I get in Target, I would
sometimes,
say.
Sometimes, but not always.
Okay.
Or the opposite. They'll sell you Amazon basic batteries, which are really just door cell batteries.
Ooh, I hear those are bad. There were stories about those. I bought a bunch, and apparently they catch fire or something. I don't know if that's true. Look it up.
Yeah.
You know what's great is I get to say whatever I want, but most people say whatever they want on the radio, and then they just say it, right? I at least always say, I might be talking through my ass. Google that. So,
you know, we should just start every episode like that. We are probably and almost certainly talking out of our ass, and you should Google it.
Go to shark.woof.
But okay, so it's not free from that way. And Dave, there's whole teams of people. There's teams and teams, hundreds and probably thousands of people who work for Amazon who are designing the shopping strategies to make sure that it's invisible. to you, you know,
and it so, is, it is,
you know, you can buy a battery or something and, you know, you might think that the price is regular or comparable to what you'd pay in a real store. Yeah. But if you look at it from a few steps back, you know, over the course of thousands of products, not at all.
We should try that. It's not. We should do a little compare. We should be more. Everybody should now. We're going to challenge our users. Mm-hmm. I want you to, at the same time you're ordering something from Amazon, before you hit order, go to Target, go to Walmart, use their app, whatever, use their website, mm-hmm. and compare. Just for like a week. Just for like, you know, just see.
Sure.
And let us know. Tweet at us at you know, Our Pod Sucks on Instagram or Twitter, and let us know if you notice any price differences. Brad, Joe, I also hear that they fluctuate the prices. Have you heard about this? Like one day it might be like $299, and then you come back a day later and it's like, you know, $305, and you like it's so minimal that you don't notice, but they raise the prices in between you buy.
That's and again, what I'm saying, you know, look that the up, ebb and flow is very deliberate and scientifically designed to make it mostly invisible that you're paying more.
So anyway, I think shopping as an experience, again, as an experience for the user, really isn't bad. It's the back end that's the bad part of that user experience.
Yeah, it's the long view and where does it net out at the end of the day? Because you know, once they have all the subscribers, once they have your hooks into you, you know what happens next. This is the Walmart philosophy with what happened in the 90s and the 80s, right? They come in with low prices, they drive out all the competition, and then all of a sudden those prices go up. Now Walmart's still pretty cheap, but like it's not as cheap as it used to be.
Right. Oh, and I just checked. The news article about delivering to your refrigerator, it's actually Walmart because they're now Amazon's competitor. So they're trying to step it up and you want to deliver to the garage? We're going to deliver to the refrigerator. So
they come into your house and they put it in your fridge.
That's what they're saying.
That seems awkward and weird. I do not want that.
I do not want that either.
I do not want your green eggs and ham. I do not want them in my pantry. Hey guys, what is this episode?
Go ahead.
What is this episode about? I thought we were going to complain about stuff, and I thought it was streaming. Are we talking about Amazon entirely, or are we just talking about the streaming service?
Well, I think got into the stream, maybe not. But really, how this started is, you know, I have an interest in streaming video. I've worked on a number of streaming video platforms, and Amazon Prime streaming video has always been very confusing. And I would qualify it as one of the worst examples of streaming video, just in terms of like serving up content to the users of Amazon Prime. It's like nonsensical to me, sort of in a similar way that our Spotify episode was. Where it doesn't seem to be particularly well organized or designed to help me get to the type of content that I want outside of like the first two rows. I guess we should assume for the purposes of this podcast that everyone is listening has some familiarity with Amazon Prime Video. You think that's fair?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Okay. So we all know what we're talking about, you know. Let's open up the app so we can kind of go.
So I got the app. So Brad, why are we focusing on Prime? I think this should be the beginning of our streaming video services, because I think they're all pretty mishmash, not great. And I don't know what the answer is from a user standpoint, because it seems like they all do the same thing. They just you know, splat things on the page and you just scroll, right? That's the whole episode, right? Okay. Right. Well, this was a good episode of
Podcast. I can outline three things in particular that I think Amazon Prime does worse than all the other streaming services. It's hard to find things. They don't offer up as much free content as they'd like to pretend to. Every time I look for a movie, I have to buy it. And then once you buy it, it just goes into a bucket. There's no way to organize that bucket. And that's really annoying too. And Brad, you use a lot more stuff like Vudu. I think you can organize there or Movies Anywhere. So I don't know if we want to talk about those in particular, but
no, those are their own episodes, but I definitely agree.
Let's stop there, Joe. You said there's no way to organize it. That's interesting because I never thought of that. Mm-hmm. And it's weird because I never thought of that. But when I had something like, what is it called? Plex, or like, what are the ones where you have your own server and you can organize stuff? I would absolutely, that's the first thing I would do is organize them.
Totally.
But you're right. I'm looking at my purchases and I've got, you know, the whole family's in here. I got Mean Girls, Clueless, you know, Star Wars.
I mean, the easiest thing would just even be like organized alphabetically. You can't even do that.
It's not even done that way. You're right. Home Alone is the first thing.
It's by the order of you that when you order. Buying I think it. It's by recency.
But you could filter. Organized. Let's see what filter does. Mm-hmm. Filter by content type. TV shows or movies.
Right. Yes.
Right.
That's classic.
Yeah. And even that, you know, on at least on my Roku app is, you know, not even because there's let's go to it and see. Mm-hmm. Starting at the beginning, it's not even easy to find stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, we go to the home screen and there's included with Prime. So here are some of the movies you can get. They're either 20 years old or mm-hmm. something I've already seen, whatever. Not bad. Forrest Gump, Napoleon Dynamite. Usual Suspects. So there's some good stuff, but there's also at the top Home and then Free to Me. So what's the difference between included in Prime and Free to Me? Mm-hmm. Movies, TV shows, stores, channels, and My Stuff. If you go to My Stuff, that's where your stuff that you bought is, and it's not organized well. But on the home screen, included in Prime, comedy, movies, continue watching, but doesn't give me anything about like, what if I want to search stand-up specials or. Okay.
Joe, can I interrupt real quick?
Sure. Please do.
I like, here's what I want to do for our pod going forward. And this is more to me than you guys, because mm-hmm. I think you already do this, but I complain a lot. Yeah. So let's always, when we hit a point that what we're complaining about, let's offer the solution. Yes. I had a great boss who once said, you know, always said to us, don't come to me with, you know, just the problem. Come also with a suggested solution. I think that's great.
Well,
so here's my solution.
Okay.
Well, just to go back before what you mm-hmm. said, we want the ability to sort, at least sort by, if not organize our own way, sort by different genres, right? What else do we want? Sort by. So,
but let's start with solutions right at the beginning, right at the home screen. We should be able to search easier by categories.
I got a find button here.
Right. Do you? Okay. Because there is a search, but I think
the and there's genres. There's genres. Like, the app, though. Do you not have that on the. All right, Joe, you're going to be our ambassador of. TV.
Yep, I got it on.
I will be the app experience. So on the app, I have genres, I have categories. So it looks pretty clean on the app. That's how does it look on the Roku? Yes, what do you have for search? It's just you type it in, right? I think that's my experience.
Yes.
Okay. You don't have genres or categories.
No.
Okay.
Maybe I could type in. Let me see. Let me type in horror and see if that does it for me. Or
okay. So right off the bat. Bad user experience on the Roku on your screen, but better user experience on the phone. This ability, because sometimes you don't know what you want. Sometimes you want, I want an action adventure. Let's see what's there.
Okay. Well, there's a, you know what, just to give some credit, I searched horror and it did bring up horror movies. So in this, it doesn't give you options, but
that's an extra step. As a user, I would say that's bad user experience. Yeah. Like the app is better in that regard.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, and the app has genres, but it doesn't have all genres. To your use case, Joe, of looking for stand-up comedy specials, there's no way to search for that.
So see more? Did you hit see more?
Yeah, I did, and it shows me comedy, but then it just dumps all comedy. You know, like filter by subgenre or anything like that.
Okay, which there's no subgenre. Okay,
right.
Okay. Point number two, Amazon, add subgenres.
Mm-hmm. Right, because they'll make up. You know, again, go back to the Roku on their home screen on the TV. They kind of like make up, you know, they'll just kind of give you different categories all the time. Like it's romance, action, adventure, comedy. So they're there, but they're so like exercise and fitness. I don't need that as a movie comedy. There's a movie genre, military and war. So it's there. It's like way down the bottom after they've kind of given you like, 15 categories that are all the same. Top rated movies, recently watched movies, you know.
What is audio descriptions? What type of category is that?
Oh, I think that's for the hearing disabled.
Oh, that's good user experience.
That's an accessibility feature, and it's a good one.
Perfect. All right.
Okay. So I just clicked on the Free to Me tab. It basically took me right back to the home screen. So that's nothing.
You know what? I actually like Free to Me. I think that's pretty good user experience, because the big problem with Amazon Prime as a whole is like in the video experience, they have a combination of all sorts of different content, and some of it's paid, some of it's free. I'm guessing that not a lot of people are using that Free to Me toggle.
Yeah.
Well,
I see what it does. So it's basically the same home screen. It just takes out
all the paid content.
Is that a toggle on the TV as well, Joe?
Yes.
I see it on the app. Okay, cool.
Yes, okay. So then movies and TV shows, I don't even know why we need two different tabs at the top for that, because Unless it's kind of the same thing. It's just like if I do movies, it's filtering out TV from that. And then store.
Mm-hmm. Like what is store? I don't have that.
I have it on the TV.
I do.
Rent or buy movies you think you'll like. Isn't that what the whole thing is about? Yeah. Yeah, right. Is it the whole thing?
That's a weird thing. Hey, you know what? Speaking of buying, this is a great segue into our SD versus HD.
Oh, that was going to be the next thing I was going to bring up.
Yes.
Yes.
It's finally happening, guys. Oh, my God. I'm so excited.
This is Brad's biggest pet peeve, everyone. We've been listening to this forever, and we've been debating it endlessly to no end. It's a war of attrition.
Guys, so we have to set this up really, really seriously, because this is like Game of Thrones level Battle of the Bastards episode that you're about to hear. Guys, prepare yourselves. All right. Sorry to interrupt you, Dave. Go ahead.
No, that's this. Let's do it. Let's get, you have a very big problem with this whole buy SD thing. And I kind of get
standard
it.
Standard definition.
But I kind of also don't care. And you might have to refresh my memory as to what my position was, because that's how little I think about this.
You are all in on wanting to pay a dollar less for something in standard definition. And yes. I'm all for like wanting to pay a dollar less, but you don't need a standard definition option any longer. There should not be a standard definition option.
For our listeners, Brad, let's explain, because you may think everybody knows, but not everybody does. What is the difference between SD and HD?
Okay, well, there's also 4K now. So we have three tiers of resolution that you have an option to purchase. And this is confusing for probably many people. I don't know about most people, but for many people, this is going to be something.
For your great aunt.
For my great aunt. I miss her so much. Standard definition. This is pre-HD. What that means is 480p in resolutions, which is 480 lines of resolution on your monitor. So that takes you back to CRT TVs, big honking things. You know, HD means at least 1080 lines of resolution on your screen. And then 4K is 4,000 lines of resolution on your screen.
And what does that mean to the average user, Brad? I throw in a DVD, looks good, looks fine.
Right.
1080 looks amazing. 4K, the human eye can't see. I'm gonna die on that hill.
Well, you're wrong, but I appreciate you. Yeah. So it used to be, Dave, that televisions could only support certain resolutions, right? So nowadays, I feel pretty comfortable saying that, everyone has at a minimum HD TVs. At a minimum, they have HD TVs.
You I don't think anybody's true? Out there. I mean, there's Amazon serves the world. I'm guessing there are people that still have black and white TVs, Brad.
Show me one of these people. If any of our users out here listening to this podcast about technology have a black and white TV message us.
I will. His name is Gary. He lives in Gary, Indiana. Uh-huh. He lives on a farm.
Yeah.
He has not come off that farm in about 40 years.
Mm-hmm. But he did order a flat screen TV on Amazon and it was delivered next day.
And he is an active listener to this podcast.
He is. What's up, Gary?
He is
What's
Amish.
Up, buddy?
let's give an example. I just looked up No Time to Die, the new the latest Bond film that just came out. Rent movie HD, $5.99 crossed out $3.99. Rent movie SD, $5.99 crossed out $3.99. So
same price.
Same price. So the same thing. Buy movie HD, $19.99 crossed out $9.99. Buy movie SD, $19.99 crossed out $9.99. So actually, right now is
that's
a good time
worst,
to buy No
that's
Time
the
to
worst
Die.
Example you could have possibly chosen, because the price is the same.
I've noticed a lot
Ghostbusters
lately
as well.
that my point is, I've noticed a lot lately that the price is the same. Like they're not even doing the dollar off anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I will tell you that $9.99 for No Time to Die in 4K is a great deal. You should buy it. It's a great movie.
It's HD. I don't know if it's 4K.
It's also false advertising. No spoilers.
Yeah. No, it's Time to Die.
Okay, hold on, guys. So this kills the argument entirely, and I'm on your side, Brad, because there is no option anymore. The app just died. That's classic. It just loves. Perfect for our show. That kills my argument, because if you're not saving any money, I don't understand the point of the ability.
No, it's not. You are like
here we go. Oh.
An example that I pulled up. Guys, don't judge me. Daddy Daycare was the first tile that I saw that wasn't free, so I clicked it. I don't care about Daddy Daycare, of course.
It's not true.
So the example of Daddy Daycare, I can rent it for 99 cents in SD, standard definition, or I can rent it in HD for $1.99.
Okay.
And are there buy options?
Yes.
Yeah.
What are they?
$3.99. Pretty screaming deal for all of you Daddy Daycare fans out there. You can buy it in HD or SD for $3.99.
Oh, same price. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So this is a dated argument. And it's killing the goddamn bit.
So what you're saying is that I've won this argument now.
You didn't win the argument.
Well, no, Brad, I got one more question for you. Because does it have it included with something else for a price? Because I'm looking at something where it says included with stars on Amazon for $8.99, which I think is their new thing. They're not offering a lot of movies for free. What they're doing is saying included with stars or included with something else for $8.99 a month. Let's throw some more money into your
channel you in there. Yeah, I've seen that.
And that's a good pivot point too, because that's another confusing part of the UX, the actual literal UX of Amazon Prime.
But let's pause there because we haven't had our debate yet. My debate, let me just say it, was that I want to save that dollar if it's a movie that I don't care about, like Daddy Daycare. If I'm renting Daddy Daycare and I've got my TV, I don't have a big TV.
You need bigger help than the dollar.
I don't have a huge TV like you, Brad. I still watch DVDs on my TV. My eyeball palette, is that a thing? Is not as
sophisticated.
It's not sophisticated. I'm like, I just want it to shit into my eyes here.
My argument is that it's arbitrary. Why would they serve you something of lower quality? It, like, who's saving here? It's like all
I am.
Arbitrary.
I'm saving a dollar. And if I save $10 this month doing that, that's $10, Brad.
I'm on the side of the consumer here, where they should just give you the highest quality version.
Yeah, but they're not going to do that. They're just going to give it to you at the higher price. But here's the other thing. What if there are people like they do? Like, the big thing in user design is you've got to design for everyone. So I'm sure there's a team of people who goes out and does user research and they find out, okay, is there really a Gary in Gary, Indiana, and does not want to pay the higher price for UHD or HD? And I bet there is. I bet. And, you know, tweet us if this is you, not you, Gary, because you'll get caught and you'll get kicked out and you'll have to live on my couch. But
again,
everyone else, let us know, because but you're saying it costs them nothing less. I think that was the other point of your debate, was that it doesn't cost them anything. But I think it does. Isn't it more space, more storage space for a
HD? Have it. They already have it stored.
But it's still got to cost more.
Well, I was going to say, here's the other possible theory on this. Is just like the upsell at the movie theater for popcorn. Like, the medium is $7.99, but the large is only $8.99, but it's like four times as much popcorn. Mm-hmm. You're always going to go that extra dollar.
Right.
If so you see...
Joe's nailed it. He nailed it.
Yeah.
Because they hook you with the 99 cents. You're like, fuck yeah, let's do that. And then you're like, it'll look a little bit better if I pay a dollar. Brilliant, right. Joe.
Yeah, it's
Joe wins, not you, Brad.
Here's
I also have another solution for user experience in this too. I rent the movie for $3.99, not knowing at all what I'm getting into. But $3.99, sure, I'll try Rachel Getting Married for $3.99, which is
great
what
movie.
I'm looking at right now, because that was last week's rewatchable.
Okay.
I don't know what I'm getting into, so I don't want to spend the $12.99 to buy it. So I rent it for $3.99.
Yeah,
at the end, they're like, hey, did you like that movie? For $5 more, you can own it.
Yeah. Boom.
Really like this idea. They should just totally do this.
This is brilliant. And you know what? It's if they're not doing it, it's short-sighted, right? It's kind of like our Napster episode.
They're
it's like the music industry, the music industry didn't want to give you what you wanted, and then we just took it anyway, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm not going to pay you after I've rented it to own that movie.
Totally. Mm-hmm.
Could I download it for free? Sure, maybe I'll do that. Or I'll just wait until you stream it for free and I'll just, not be able to watch it 20 times like I wanted.
Right.
But Joe's saying, if you rent it for $2.99, they should just give you an immediate upsell option to spend an extra $2.99 or $5 or whatever to buy it at a discounted price.
Yeah.
That includes the price of your rental that you just bought.
What's the skin off their back? They're leaving money on the table.
Absolutely right. Another example of that is they should upsell you resolution as technology changes. So I've been buying movies for a long time, right? So I've been buying movies on Amazon Prime for a while. Yeah. By the way, guys, just a humble brag. I was checking my Movies Anywhere. I have 309 movies that I purchased.
Yeah. Brad started purchasing when they were called talkies, by the way.
I was thinking about this too. I'd probably have 300 movies too if I had a nice way to organize them in my Amazon Prime library.
None of the apps, this is not specific to Amazon, have a way to let you organize your library. which is wild. Right. But anyway, for movies that I've bought in HD, I would like the ability to spend a little bit of extra to upgrade my purchase to 4K.
I think what they're doing is the same thing with our, you know, I forget who we said it about, Spotify episode, right? Or no, maybe it was the music. Yeah, yeah. It's like this, it's this old thinking. It's like, oh, well, if you bought a DVD and then you come in to get a, or you bought a VHS and you come in to get a DVD, I'm not going to give that. I'm not going to be like, oh, let's trade it. I trade up. So that's what they're still thinking. They're thinking, no, yeah, that we can get you to buy. Yeah, you bought Star Wars a few years ago on SD, and now you want the UHD version. You got to buy that again. You want to have to repurchase. But I think people are just not going to do that. They're just going to watch it in the old version until it's unbearable. And I don't think it ever will be.
I agree with you. And I think that Star Wars is maybe like one of three or four examples where someone would buy it again.
Right, right.
But what about the other 300 movies in my library?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Like, give us one.
They're leaving money on the table again. Because, you know, Joe versus Volcano, which, by the way, is one of my favorite movies of all time, and the French are going to rediscover it one day like they did Citizen Kane. I would absolutely, you know, spend $5 or whatever. $5 is too much. I'd spend $3 to upgrade it to 4K.
Yeah, yeah. But you're not gonna buy it otherwise. You're not gonna buy the 4K.
I'm not gonna rebuy it at $20 or whatever the case may be.
Right.
Okay, cool. Let's move on. What was the pivot you wanted to do that I paused us on?
I was just saying the other option now, instead of rent or buy, is it, you know, Rachel getting married, included with Stars on Amazon for $8.99 a month.
Yeah.
So
thank you. Thanks for keeping us on track,
a free trial.
Joe.
Or a free trial. Like,
that's the other thing that, just from a pure UX standpoint, is very confusing about Amazon Prime, is because you can add on other channels for extra fees, like Stars, an example, HBO, Paramount Plus. You can add on all these other streaming services, so it's all integrated into your Amazon Prime. And I've done that with AMC. So I subscribed to AMC Plus through Amazon Prime. And I did that, you know, here and there. I did it because I wanted to watch one TV show, like Comedy Bang Bang is only available if I have AMC Plus. So whatever, here nor there. Yeah. But the confusing part is, number one, navigating to your paid channels in that already clunky Amazon Prime experience is really tough. And if I had more than AMC, if I had like all of my streaming subscriptions through Amazon Prime, it would be even worse. Here's the real problem with it. There's no cross-pollination. So this example that I gave about AMC Plus, it's not easy for me to then download the AMC app and then log in.
Oh,
yeah. In fact, I don't know that there's a way for me to do that.
This is so weird.
I subscribe through Amazon, and now I have to watch it through Amazon, even though I'm paying for it.
Let me tell you.
You don't have a separate account for it, basically.
Let me tell you my experience with this.
Let me ask you one quick question before you get into it, Dave. Brad, how is your experience navigating on AMC? Because I imagine that its actual architecture is kind of like the clunky Amazon architecture. It's not what it would look like if you had the Amazon or the AMC app proper.
Yeah, it's just the content. It's just the content. It's just the AMC Plus content served through the Amazon infrastructure.
Right. Gross.
Right.
Yeah. So here's my experience with it, guys. And this is probably, listen up, Amazon, this is probably not what you want. Whenever I see that, I just ignore it. Right. So if I see that it's, oh, you could get this through Stars, I click back and I'm like, I'll find this somewhere else or I won't watch it. Because I for the very experience that you're describing is what I imagine in my brain would happen if I said yes to that. And also another bill that I have to figure out how to kind of like back out of.
Yeah, and probably forget about, which is
exactly,
you know, what they want.
Which is what they want you to do.
Right. So I just don't.
Yeah.
There is a channels button on the app.
Yes.
So there's, I guess I get you there, but you scroll and it's like, it's just when you have a channel, Brad, like, does your AMC pop up first? Because this is just looks like a big scrolling advertisement that it doesn't emphasize what it is, it emphasized the content. So, and maybe that's by design. So I get lost in it. And I don't know that I'm subscribing to Stars, or I can't even find PowerBook for Force. The hell is this? I don't even know what channels these are. So it's not IMDb TV, very tiny print, right? Like you can't even see what Paramount Plus, very tiny print. Mm-hmm. It's like they want you to be pulled in by the content. Mm-hmm. And this has got to be by design, right? It seems weird to me. Like, why would you not emphasize that? And if I'm Paramount or Showtime, am I annoyed by this? Like, wouldn't I want my brand to be emphasized, not Yellow Jacket and Billions?
I believe that's why HBO pulled their channel from Amazon, which
that makes sense.
I think is still accurate. I know that that at one point was a pivot point for HBO where they removed their content from Amazon. And I think that that still stands. You know, again,
smart.
Lovers, yeah. Not experts. You can fact check me, right, on that.
Why would you do this from a business standpoint? If I were Paramount or Showtime, why would I channel it in through Amazon?
No, there's great reasons for that. Did you know?
Did
you know? Let me ask you this. What is the world's largest search engine?
No, tell us, Brad.
No, you guess.
I got to guess. Okay. I think I used the shart.woof joke too many times. We're above the rules of three, so I'm not going to use that, even though, yeah, I just did. Google.
You are correct. Do you know what is the world's second largest search engine? Trick question.
DuckDuckGo.
Amazon.
Wow. Search. Oh, because you're searching
volume.
Products. Yeah.
Amazon is the world's second largest search engine.
Wow.
There,
okay,
you go.
Makes sense.
So,
okay,
just to put it in context, why would you want, so, you know, stars, yada, yada,
yes,
yada?
Yes.
That's why.
It's kind of like getting a listing front page on Google. That's what you're saying.
It's, yeah, kind of like getting a shout out on, you know, the Sucks podcast. You know,
absolutely.
Yeah, that sucks.
We are the number three search engine, just so everybody knows. Right above Duck, Duck, Goose. Go.
Duck, Duck, Goose.
Okay, guys. So what else do we want to complain about? Because I feel like this, I'm going to have to edit a lot out.
Right. I mean, we can go on to, I mean, one more thing to wrap
Joe,
up.
Joe, don't you got an archery? Don't you got to go?
It's too late. I already missed it. I should have been out of here a half hour ago if I even wanted to come close to making it.
I feel like I let you down, Joe.
That's okay.
Did you have to pay for that?
$10.
Oh, well, I'm going to Venmo you $10, Joe.
That's okay. I don't mind, you know, supporting my local archery club.
You want to give a shout out to your local archery club?
Pasadena Roving Archers? I mean, sure.
You should ask them if they want to be sponsors of this pod.
They're going to have to compete with some big names. They're going to have to compete with, yeah, the Mac Weldons, with the Simply Safes, right, with the Hymns, 4hymns.com. Right. Uh-huh. They're going to have to compete with, what's another sponsor that we've had? Lisa Mattresses.
Lisa, yes, yes.
Our listeners, we require at least 20 G for a shout, mm-hmm, out like Joe just, mm-hmm, gave, yeah, for free, yeah, for his archery club. So I hope they appreciate that, Joe, and at least waive that $10 fee for today.
Right. I think, overall, Amazon Prime is a good thing because it offers you a lot for very little, but there's a lot of problems, and every aspect of that a lot has its own significant problems that we could probably do an entire podcast on each one.
Yeah. I could wrap it up like this, guys. The price of convenience is more than what you're paying out of your wallet. There are all sorts of invisible costs as well, from a society standpoint for how Amazon treats its workers, from an environmental standpoint, which is a catastrophe. All that is not free. And right, all that costs all of us a lot more in the long term than $120.
But Brad, I know you're wrapping it up, but what is the solution? Because, you know, we like to just complain. But again, back to my point about having a solution, do we, mm-hmm, push back? Do we not? Do we, you know, because I'll tell you what, every time there's like, oh, hey, do you want to do this on your Amazon day? I'm like, fuck no, I want that tomorrow. I'm the problem.
We're all the problem. Yeah.
Okay. Sure. So we have no solution.
Unless we're going to change our behavior, which I've already admitted, right, twice in this, yeah, podcast that I'm not.
Right. Right. So, see, here at the Sucks podcast, we bring nothing to the table.
I think we can encourage people to use that Amazon day, or, you know, bundle your packages together at least. So, you know, right, if you can wait till Thursday for your toothpaste, sure, and your toothbrush, you're not getting the toothbrush on Monday and your toothpaste not till Thursday anyway.
Well, here's what I would say about Amazon. Joe is the best among us. always has been, always will be.
That's sincere too. Like, no, I'm an asshole when it comes to this.
For sure.
Joe will actually do this.
For sure. Yeah. And for our listeners, you know, they might not realize this. For our users, Dave and I are going to hell, sincerely. We're bad,
absolutely,
people.
In a handbasket, as we discussed previously.
Joe is legitimately a good guy.
Which is odd.
Indeed.
So anyway, I could fix Amazon Prime Video. I could do that, right?
Okay.
So there's real ways that you can improve that experience. You know, that's... Yep. That was our initial entry point in this, yep, episode, but, you know, mm-hmm, it's Amazon. It's too big of a topic to only cover Prime Video. So I could fix that. But from an Amazon perspective, is the big question is, do they need to? And I think clearly the answer is no, they don't. Right.
Right.
Well, they don't have to fix this experience.
You're right, Brett.
It's not going to cost them any subscribers.
The reason I don't have a complaint as big as you guys do about Amazon Prime is because I see this with all of them. Netflix isn't any better. And we should do a compare and contrast, even though we were wrapping up.
Yeah.
Real quick, 1 minute, tell me what's better and how you would fix Amazon Prime.
Okay. Well, first off, I'll start with my hot take. And before we lose any listeners, if we have any listeners left at this point, congratulations, guys. Here's my hot take. These streaming services have too much content. So that is creating so much overload of, you know, free.
Content is king, Brad.
Yeah. So it's content overload. More content does not equal better anything. Yep. And in the case of, you know, I might have cited this on last week's episode, Peacock has almost entirely garbage on the network. It's all garbage. And then a few.
And then The Office.
And then The Office, right?
Fuckers.
It's mostly garbage, Olympics and The Office and some classic sitcoms.
Can I just pause you there for a quick rant? Because I haven't gotten to rant a lot, Brad.
Yeah.
Who the fuck, in the middle of a pandemic, a global pandemic, we are all getting together after we cleansed our palate from the Tiger King, right? We all got together and said, you know what? We and Billie Eilish are going to listen to The Office. We're going to watch The Office, I mean, and we're going to be happy just for a few moments every night. And then here comes Peacock. Oh, fuck you. You're going to get COVID and die. And you have to subscribe for $4.99 a month if you want to watch Michael Scott. So fuck you, Peacock. I hope you burn. I hope you fail. And I get to watch The Office on Netflix again. Okay, I'm done, Brad.
Wow. That was, God, glorious. Okay. By the way, do you know what I did when The Office left Netflix?
What'd you do?
Cancel
bought
Netflix?
It on Vudu. I bought the whole series on sale for $19.99. But I spent $20 for the entire season, for the entire run of The Office on Vudu.
Really?
Which, by the way, is a hell of a lot cheaper than subscribing to the Peacock.
Fuck yeah, it is.
App. Yeah.
Can you still do that on Vudu, or is that not an option anymore?
It was sale at the time. It's probably still on sale.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. Wrap us up. Bring us home, Brad. You're comparing and contrasting. Go.
Okay. For how I would fix it, less content, more structure. Because Amazon and services like Amazon know what you want to watch, and they are not listening to what you want. They don't care what you want. They're just throwing it all at the wall because they don't have to do anything different. Amazon knows enough about you, Dave, that they can actually show you content that you're interested in.
Yeah.
And they're not doing that. They could, but they don't. And again, because they don't have to.
So Brad, to fix it, we want more organization and more customized content using our search history, using our watch history,
and less
clutter. You don't think that's going to happen?
I don't think that they need to make those kind of investments. They don't need to fix Amazon Prime.
Okay. So world's
I wish that they would. I mean, they should, and they might, because just to make it a little bit better. But,
All right. You
know, I mean, it's been a number of years now, and they haven't really fixed it in a meaningful way. So I'm kind of like losing confidence that this is something that they're going to do.
So for our users, again, we bring nothing to the table. We're just bitching and complaining.
I thought that's what you wanted to do with this podcast.
That's what I did. But I'm trying to lift myself.
That was your idea.
I'm trying to lift myself up. Elevate.
I think we've had a couple of good ideas on things that they could do better. And
if they listened, how do we get them to listen?
Right.
Anyway, how about some you? Hey, guys, let's stop.
Like and subscribe.
This is running long. How about a moment of UX Zen?
I had one from this morning.
Go for it.
Well, I was just thinking about, I was making a cup of coffee, getting ready for this podcast, and
coffee's good.
I don't know if this is I don't know if this is really a unicorn, but it's more of a, it's definitely user experience. It might be more of a item review, but my Keurig coffee maker, you know, instead of being like $1,000 Breville, super expensive cappuccino latte espresso maker, it's $150. Yep. Doesn't make perfect lattes and cappuccinos because it doesn't make pressurized espresso. But like we were talking about on the remote control episode, there are 6 buttons on this machine and it can make coffee of different sizes. Half those buttons are just the coffee sizes. The other one is just choosing between coffee, latte, and cappuccino. And there is like no moving parts. It's so easy to clean up. Like you put the right amount of milk into a little metal container, push cappuccino. It makes, I don't know how it does it. It's like magic. Some kind of voodoo goes on in there.
Yeah.
It makes steam and foam milk without like a steam arm that you have to wipe off and clean. There's awesome. No mechanical parts. There's nothing mixing it.
Yeah.
Pour it into the coffee and pretty good. And the difference, you know, that was $150 as compared to, you know, $1,000.
So Joe, what I'm hearing is standard issue good user experience. I'm reading this book, The Design of Everyday Things. Who's it by? Norman. Mr. Norman.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things they talk about is, you know, in the early chapters is simplicity. Items that have, simplicity. So you have a washer or a dryer that has a million buttons. And again, mm-hmm. I'll be buying a dryer, so I'm going to look for this.
Right.
You're saying 6 buttons and they give you exactly what you need. You have very clear signifiers, right? Yes. You know exactly what to do. You do not have to. You do not have to think about it, Brad. You got to go in 2 minutes. So why don't you go ahead and why don't you get us out of here, Brad?
That's our episode on Amazon Prime. Thank you to all of our listeners for listening to this Sucks podcast. And I think we fixed Amazon.
We did a good job. We did a great job.
What would you say?
I want a bonus. I need a bonus, Brad.
Anything that you want to tell Amazon since I know they're
I know a good producer. That's what I know. His name is Joe.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say, don't be evil.
That's the solution. Don't be evil. Yeah. Like Google. Well, not new Google, but old Google.
Right. Listen to Google, not Alphabet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now that Amazon Prime has, you know, Amazon has, you know, conquered the world, what's next? For them to make responsible decisions for the planet. In the meantime, until they do that, which I'm sure they will soon, we are wishing you health, a well-designed life, and good experiences. Welcome back to the Sucks Podcast.
I think Brad just sharted.